Welcome to DriveCast. This is Ed Travers, one of the Campus Life pastors working at the Lewis Center campus. This past Sunday, we started a new series we're calling Prodigals. We're looking at the story of the prodigal son. It's a parable that Jesus told in Luke 15. Let me give you the context. In 15 verse 1 and 2, it says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'The man receives sinners and eats with them.'" So the context is you have the very religious, self-righteous crowd, Pharisees and scribes, and then you have the other crowd, the ones who have been rebellious, the tax collectors and sinners, and those who can't keep up the righteous works. So Jesus is going to address these two groups of people using parables, and the first two parables he tells in Luke 15 are the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And he's trying to talk to both crowds and show them God's heart for sinners. But he's using both of these to show them that they're all lost. And the first two aren't as direct, but the third parable, the parable of the lost son, is really very direct. But in this series, we're really looking at this through the lens of one person at a time. The first character, the younger son, the character of the older son, and then the father over the course of 3 weeks. So this past week, we looked at the younger son really directing towards those tax collectors and sinners who've been very rebellious. Here's what happens in chapter 15, verse 11. It says, "And he said, 'There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went out and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.'" It's an incredible parable, and a parable is simply kind of an earthly story to explain a heavenly reality where God is trying to show us through his son, what heaven is like and what the kingdom of God is supposed to be like. And this story is really appalling to the people who are listening. For a young man to go to his dad and say, "Dad, I want my stuff up front. I want my inheritance." It's another way of saying, "Dad, I wish you were dead. I want my stuff. I'd rather have the stuff than you." And in that culture, a shame-based culture, they would have expected this father would have beaten up the son and, would have disciplined him. But the father does the unthinkable. He gives the son his inheritance, which means he worked hard to probably make that happen. The son does exactly what you'd expect a young man who didn't earn all that stuff to do. He goes out and he completely wastes it. He squanders it, he says. He finds himself in the midst of a famine, and he does the very thing that he was trying to get away from. He was trying to get away from authority. He ends up hiring himself out to an authority figure that makes him work with pigs, which the people listening would have just been absolutely flabbergasted by hearing this. This young man, basically has shamed his family, taken advantage of them, and now he ends up serving pigs, which, all the people of Israel stayed away from. That's where the story changes. It says he came to himself. He came to himself. That's another way of saying he came to his senses. He figured it out, and he realized, man, I can't really go back to my dad because I'm not worthy. I have made a mistake, but I'm going to go home. Maybe he'll hire me out as one of his hired servants. I just want to be in the proximity. I know that he'll take care of me if I can just go back. And he comes up with this whole speech where he's going to say, look, it's my fault. I own this. And I think it's in humility he embraces all the things that he's done. He's owning his junk here. And he's going back in humility. And I think the point is, it's humility that opens the door to going back home. This young man, in the midst of all these decisions that he made that were just ridiculous and prideful and sinful and rebellious, he was going to go back home. Now, if you've been a Christian for a long time, you know the story that the father accepts him back. We're going to talk about those over the course of the next couple weeks. But I want you to see the idea of humility, that wherever you're at in your life, that it's humility that God wants. In fact, the Bible says in several occasions in James and also in 1 Peter, where it says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. That means he's not going to pour out blessing on our pride, on our sin. But if we turn back to him, he will overwhelm us with his grace. Father, I pray that you help us in our pride, that all of us deal with this. Help us in our pride to have humility, to turn to you, to own our stuff, to agree with you in the way that life's supposed to go, and turn our hearts back to home. Lord, we ask for your grace on our life. It's in your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, take a second and just think that through. Think of areas of your life where maybe you've kind of decided this area is going to be one of rebellion. That, you know, that's one's just for you, if you will. And anywhere that that's the case, in humility, just go back to the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me do? Pray about that. Well, until next time, God bless.